There are a lot of quarterbacks in the NFL draft this year. My name is Ben Solak, and I host the Ringer NFL Draft Show with Danny Kelly, Danny Heifetz, and Greg Horlbeck. We cover trades, free agency, and the draft, which is, obviously. We'll tell you about everything, which includes which quarterbacks are good, which quarterbacks are bad, and which quarterbacks are just Kirk Cousins. That is the Ringer NFL Draft Show. Search the Ringer NFL Draft Show on Spotify. This episode is brought to you by State Farm. There's no better feeling than a personal win, and the State Farm Personal Price Plan can help you do just that. Talk to a State Farm agent today to learn how you can bundle and save with the personal price plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
This episode is brought to you by Modelo. What does a true fan look like? It's cheering the loudest. It's never missing a game, no matter what. And for that, you deserve an ice cold reward because you are a fighter and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Shop delivery or pickup options near you at ordermodelo.com. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Welcome to Extra Point Taken. Chiel Kapati here, joined by Ben Solak. Finally, it is draft week. We can say it. It is draft week. 3 days away, and we've got bold predictions today. How will it all unfold? Benjamin Solak, I asked you before we came on, I said, can I just ignore everything I see, hear, read, or whatever in the next 3 days? And just after this podcast, say, all right, I'm ready for Thursday. And you said, maybe not. You're attuned to like what to focus on and what not to focus on.
Whatever, like this week, people's belief in the veracity of this information is always conditional on what happened last year in this week. And last year in this week, it was like, Will Levis this, he's going to go first overall. Like Reddit thinks he's the Panthers pick. He's going to go second overall. Oh, he's going to go Colts for sure. You know, four is the floor. And he went 33, right? And so everybody now this year is like, man, the markets know nothing. People know nothing. Everything is made up. There's no way of knowing what's going to go on. I remember the Baker Mayfield year when like we actually got legit information, like, you know, 24, 48 hours out, right? Like it's kind of whatever happened most recently is how people feel. And so you have to either believe something or don't believe it, which is not a helpful answer, but it's like, it's a 50-50 proposition. Some of it's going to be real, real true and good. Some of it's going to be absolutely wrong.
All right. You message me if there's something I need to believe. Otherwise I'll just ignore everything else. That works. All right. All right. So here's what we're doing. These are bold predictions. Now, when we say bold, we set the ground rules in our last show. If you listen to it, you know what we're talking about. This isn't like kind of bold. This is like, I don't know. So like, what did you feel? I feel like mine have probably under a 10% chance to happen. Like, I was like, I'm not doing anything where you're going to make fun of me and be like, that's not bold enough. That was my one goal. I'm like, they have to be bold. They probably won't happen, but that's how I'm approaching this. How did
mine
you
are definitely
it?
More likely than 10%. Mine were... If the fan base to whom this relates will get upset that I'm predicting it because they think it's absurd. Like, that's like, all right, if this will bother insert fans of team here, I'm willing to say it because I believe it.
There you go. All right. So that's what we're doing. You can be the judge. Were we bold enough? Did we go too far? Whatever the case, we've got three each. And then I've got the extra point taken. All right, Solak, let's get started. Number one, let's come out hot. The Las Vegas Raiders. Trade up for Jaden Daniels. The big shakeup in the top five. You're saying, no, Shiel, he's going to the Washington Commanders. Well, maybe the Washington Commanders didn't like his behavior at Topgolf. You know, maybe they didn't like how the man swung a 9-iron. Maybe they didn't like what appetizers he ordered.
Now that I've had a week to sit with the Topgolf thing, I'm super into it. I would do it every single year. I think it was a great idea. Stroke of genius from Adam Peters.
For those who don't know what we're talking about, the Commanders had a big group of prospects in, took them all to Topgolf, watched how they behaved, and I don't know if they took anything from it or didn't take anything from it, but that was their approach. Now, to be fair, I do think other teams have done this. Bill Belichick, I think, talked about last week how the Patriots have done similar things before where you bring in a group at a time, and I think other teams have done that too. So it's not completely out of the norm, but it was still kind of funny. Then there were reports about, all right, is Daniel's agent isn't like that pleased with this? Does he want to go to Washington? I don't know whether you make anything out of it or not, but I'm saying, is there at least a little bit of a scenario here where we all think it's Jaden Daniels, but Drake May ends up being the pick? at number two. Like, I don't think I would be shocked at that. I think people are probably split on who the number two prospect in this quarterback class is. So let's paint a scenario where the Commanders do all their work. They say these guys were closer than the public thought throughout this process. And at the end of the day, we felt like Jaden Daniels had too many flaws that he had to overcome. And we just felt like Drake May, younger, upside. We watched Solak's videos. He convinced us. We listened to Extra Point Taken. And we're good. You know what? I'm actually like, if it's our, if we, and I don't know if it's a fully me, Daniels versus you, May, like, you know, like, but if that is the case, my preference is kind of that May goes and gets coached by Cliff Kingsbury. Like, I think that is, yeah, that works better. No offense.
I
to
see
Cliff,
you're always,
but that, I think that
always preparing.
That works better in my favor. All right. So let's say the Commanders go Drake May. Patriots then. At number three, maybe they're entering this process saying, all right, we're going to get Drake May. Daniel goes two. Oh, no. Drake May went at two. What do we do? Do we like Jaden Daniels or do we like J.J. McCarthy or do we trade back? There's a possibility that they go J.J. McCarthy again. Maybe they say young prospect. You know, you got the Michigan narrative. That's gonna win the PR battle there. He can grow into the role, leadership, intangibles, all those things. They go J.J. McCarthy. So I think there actually is a scenario where Jaden Daniels ends up being on the board at four rather than going off the board at number two. And so I was looking at this. All right, number four, Arizona Cardinals. I think there's a great chance that regardless of what happens in the first three picks, that the Cardinals trade back. I think everyone looks at that as kind of the biggest pivot point here in the top five. And then I was looking at the teams. Well, who would be the team that goes up there and drafts Jaden Daniels? The Vikings thing, it just, the scheme fit doesn't feel as clean to me as some of the other guys. Now, maybe I'm wrong about that, and maybe they'll go ahead and take a big swing on Jaden Daniels. But I was looking at this Raiders team, and I know they're all the way down at 13. But look at the way they've approached some of this stuff, okay? They bring Antonio Pierce back. They sign Christian Wilkins. They're holding on to Devontae Adams. They've got Max Crosby. Like, they never have a long-term vision or a long-term plan. They're not exactly the most patient organization. It's so easy for me to picture them saying, Antonio Pierce knows Jaden Daniels well. You bring him in, dynamic quarterback. He's got receiving talent here. We can go ahead. We can be competitive right away. What's our avenue, if not this, for getting a long-term starter or taking a big swing at quarterback? And I can kind of see that. So maybe they make the Trey Lance deal. You move from 13 to 4, you give up two future firsts, and you say, you know what, we're going for it with Jaden Daniels here with this supporting cast. So there you go. That is my first bold prediction. The Raiders go all the way up to 4, and they take Jaden Daniels. I had it as under 10%, Solak. What do you think?
Well, my first bold prediction would serve and allow your first bold prediction to exist, which is that...
Ooh.
I don't think Jaden Daniels is going two to Washington. I don't buy it. I you can't make that face. You say he's going to the Raiders. He has to get past Washington to go there.
Solak, I'm learning from you. You are a performer. We are on YouTube now. Ringer NFL, okay. YouTube. Go ahead and subscribe. I gotta match your reactions. You always sell my big things. I'm trying to sell your big things. Don't get mad at me.
I appreciate it. That's good, right? Exactly. Get the gamesmanship thing going. I will say, because people have asked, I am never, ever, ever intending to do it ever. I really am not. I understand there's times where it's like, oh.
I believe that. That,
no,
it is very natural.
We've been doing pods together for years. We didn't even have social video yet, and I was still making faces. I can't help myself. I would love to not do what I do. Anyway, I don't think Jane is going to the Commanders. Here's why I don't. It just doesn't pass the sniff test for me. It just doesn't. I understand, like, the league is excited about Jaden Daniels. I have seen the plugged in scouting folks, you know, your big names in NFL Network and ESPN who have ranked Jaden Daniels high for the entire process. I've seen the Jeff Legwolds of the world. Oh, these people are historically accurate, and they got Jaden Daniels super highly. Like, I have seen all of that. I definitely think that there is a spirit within the league that has Jaden Daniels as the second overall quarterback. I think that opinion is present. I do not think it is a dominating majority opinion. I really don't. At no point, like, I have spoken to enough NFL people over the course of like 9 months, over the course, like, going to last season, to know that the league likes Drake May. Like, I'm so totally unconvinced by the idea, like, oh, Drake's bad and they all like Jaden Daniels more. I just don't think that's true. I also know for a fact the league likes J.J. McCarthy. Like, I'm positive that there are some teams that have J.J. McCarthy as quarterback too. I think QB 2, 3, 4 is a debate across the league, all right? And so it is difficult for me to approach Washington where every single report that's like, well, we think it's Jaden Daniels at 2, but it's not coming from them. It's coming from other league people. Like, that I find very unconvincing, right? Maybe it's true, right? Like, reporters are doing their best, and they're speaking to people about people, and they're piecing it together. That doesn't hold a ton of weight for me. It's second-degree reporting. It's what other teams are saying about the Commanders. Like, it's not going to move the needle too much for me. Does this Jaden Daniels wants to go somewhere else, he'd rather go play for the Raiders, he's taking me with the Vikings thing, that also doesn't move the needle too much for me, but it is notable. Like, you know, if this were locked and done and this decision were made, I don't think everybody's going to Topgolf last week. Like, I just don't think they would do that if they were like, all right, it's Jaden, turn the key and go. So I still think that there's uncertainty. I don't think necessarily like the results of Topgolf introduced more uncertainty. I think it is an indicator that there was uncertainty entering the process. So I think it's up for debate. JJ McCarthy took money 24 hours ago to go 2 overall. Drake May took money a few days ago. Like, people are betting into it. I don't think people know. So I'm willing to say that it's not Jaden at 2. And I don't know if we're going to get off this pod in 50 minutes and it's going to turn out there's a report that it is Jaden or it's not Jaden. I don't know if we're not going to get a report until 3 minutes before. I don't know if we're going to have Adam Schefter on ESPN's broadcast going, I really don't know who this pick is, Rich. It could be like a complete stab in the dark, like a total shock. Who knows? Jaden Daniels doesn't pass the sniff test for me at 2. Not the reporting of it, and then not the player talent of it. I just watch May and I watch McCarthy, and I go, I can't put Jaden like, oh, so clearly, emphatically above these dudes. He obviously should be a lot to go to. Like, I like May more than Daniels, but it's not even about that. It's just like there's too much closeness in everybody's evaluation of these three quarterbacks for me to feel like, all right, there's a very clear QB2, so I should expect him to be the pick for the Commanders. So I'm willing to predict that the Commanders don't take Daniels at 2. I have May in my final mock draft. A lot of that is just because when the final mock drafts get scored, if May gets taken 2, that's going to be great for me. I think it's very possible. I do think McCarthy, like you've seen, I think McCarthy's going to have some more smoke over the next couple of days. I don't know if it's real or not, but I think he will. I can understand why any of those three quarterbacks would be the guy for Adam Peters, would be the guy for Cliff Kingsbury. Like I said, May has history in an air raid offense. Jaden's offense isn't air raid, but it borrows air raid concepts. Cliff would be able to pretty easily see how he could take the Den Brock offense and map it onto the thing. McCarthy reminds me of Brock Purdy. Like I can talk myself into all the guys. So, not Jaden at 2 is my bold prediction.
Man, if they are drafting a quarterback to fit Cliff Kingsbury's system, that I understand what you're saying, but it's, and I guess you have to factor that in, but man, that would make me nervous as a Commanders fan. I think you had this take so like back in like November or December, I feel like when we first start, like we mentioned the quarterback prospects on this pod, and I think one of your big takeaways was like, Caleb Williams is awesome. After that, people are going to have different tastes for the next group of quarterbacks, right? I we've had this conversation before.
And I also, conversation. We also had the, oh man, the Commanders are in actually a nice spot to reload really fast conversation. I remember, and now I'm like, frick, man, come on. Like, we got this coaching staff with these free agency moves, and now the potential to bungle 2 overall. Like, we're coming out the gate a little flat here, man.
Yeah, that was before they hired an offensive coordinator, before this offensive line was in the shape that it's in. So I agree with you that it's hard. Like, I don't have you have a stronger take that you love, Drake May as number 2. I hate to be like so wishy-washy, but I just like, I really will not crush any of these teams for their quarterback choices in the top 5. I mean, I can sort of see it. With all of these guys, I like Jaden Daniels more than you do. I see the upside. I see the tools with Drake May, even though I'm not as high on him as you are. And then JJ McCarthy, it's like for a lot of these schemes, you can just kind of see it like, oh yeah, he would probably fit well there. I could see why an NFL team would like him. So you think you have Drake May in your mock draft, which everyone can read on theringer.com. I had Drake May in my like predictions column that is on theringer.com. As well. Now, part of that was, you know, for content, but still, you know, the record is the record. I had the Commanders taking Drake May at number 2. So we'll see. Will it be Jaden Daniels, who has been reported to be the favorite for weeks, months now, but at the same time, no one's kind of stamping it, saying yes, 100%. There's always a caveat with it. So that's been interesting. Or will it be one of those things like you mentioned with Baker Mayfield in the past where all of a sudden, maybe the night before the draft, we hear, oh, you know what? It really could be Drake May at number 2 for the Washington Commanders. So it is a fun, you're usually like the, hey, you know, NFL getting it right. This is a fun top of the draft. Like, I think the further down we get, I was like, all right, I'm getting kind of bored here in the 20s. But the top of this draft, with the uncertainty at 2, with the uncertainty at 3, with the likely trade down at 4, with a possible trade down at 5, with the wide receiver talent. Like, there is a lot of juice at the top of this draft. It should be an exciting start, I feel like.
Extremely juicy draft at the top. I think the back end of the first round will also get exciting, because I think it's going to be super trade heavy this year as well. And so to me, yeah, no, this is a fun one. That's why I'm hoping we get reports and line movement and chaos over the next couple of days, because it is a rife draft for uncertainty and madness at the top.
Now, do your other takes have to do with, like, you know, 3 and 4 and what happens if Jaden Daniels doesn't go 2, or should I ask you about that now?
No, I didn't make my takes conditional on other takes.
Okay, so let's play it out here. So if Drake May goes number 2, mm-hmm. let's say, what do you think the New England Patriots do at number 3? Jaden Daniels, JJ McCarthy, or trade out?
I would guess they stay and take Jaden. That would be my okay. anticipation. That is a prognostication I deliver with even less certainty than Jaden's going 2. You know what I'm saying? Like, it is the fact that the Commanders have kept their cards so close to the vest so well, which, by the way, like, it doesn't actually mean anything, but, like, good on Adam Peters, man. This is hard to do, to keep it as tight as they have. Like, objectively, I think it's challenging. And so they've kept their cards close to the vest. What that is, I think, one of the things that the consequence of that is that we don't know anything about what the Patriots are going to do at 3. If we knew what the Commanders were going to do at 2, we could start to, like, really delve into what the Patriots are going to do at 3. But the Patriots are also really quite the tough nut to crack. They're a big riddle, less so because, like, you know, they're kind of keeping the reporting in-house. But more so because, like, Elliot Wolf, Alonzo Highsmith, Jerod Mayo, like, they are completely new. Like, this is the first Patriots team we've had outside of the Belichick era, and a year starts with a 2. So we don't know what they care about as a team. Like, are they going to care about size? Are they going to care about movement skills? What do they want to be philosophically? Like, we just don't know. And so I think Jaden, but, man, JJ wouldn't surprise me. Trade back wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, Mike Reese of ESPN, very plugged in. Great guy, great reporter. Has been covering that team for a long time. He had a piece on ESPN over the weekend that suggested that, like, he feels like, or his reporting suggests that it's going to be a quarterback for the Patriots, that they just feel like they can't pass on it at this point when they have the number 3 overall pick. But again, everything comes with a caveat, so you never know. All right, so you have Daniels at 3, and then what would you have at 4? What did you have in your mock at 4?
I think the Cardinals are staying and taking a wide receiver. That's my expectation.
Ooh,
I think they're Marvin Harrison at 4. The way that Monty seems to be running this right now is basically saying, hey, like, I would like to stay and take Marvin. Like, you can move me off of it if you absolutely nuke the offer. Like, that's the presentation. Schefter was on McAfee earlier today. We're recording on Monday. Talking about how if a trade happens for 4, he thinks it's going to be on draft night. It goes back to what we talked about in last Monday's episode. The closer we get to draft day and this trade doesn't happen, I think the more sketchy this gets for Minnesota, the more interesting that this gets overall. So he thinks a trade for 4 wouldn't happen until draft night, which is fair, right? You don't, if you're the Cardinals, you don't know which quarterback's going to be there at 4. And so you could make a trade now and make another team take the risk for going and get that guy. Or if you know the Vikings want X, and you can wait and roll the dice, and if X makes it there, then you can really get Questy to the screws, right? So there's a little risk reward here. I do think they stay and draft the wide receiver. I think the Chargers at 5 are the trade back spot for where a quarterback actually ends up going.
All right. I've got May at 2, McCarthy at 3 to the Patriots, and then the Raiders trade up there to 4 with the Cardinals to take Jaden Daniels. All right. Take a break. Come back with more of our predictions.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. There's no better feeling than a personal win, and the State Farm Personal Price Plan can help you do just that. Talk to a State Farm agent today to learn how you can bundle and save with the Personal Price Plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
This episode is brought to you by Indeed. We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/RingerNFL. Just go to Indeed.com/RingerNFL right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. All right, we are back on Extra Point Taken. All right, my next prediction. So, like, I feel like you're going to rip this one, but you know what? Sometimes I got to take a swing.
You know
what?
Sight unseen, I'm willing to rip it. Whatever it is, I disagree.
All right, it was going to be that Drake May is the second best quarterback.
Let's go!
That wouldn't be a prediction. All right, I've got the New York Football Giants ending up with a quarterback in this draft. His name is Michael Penix Jr. The Giants, not at six. Okay, here's how it happens. The Giants are on the clock at six. And I already told mine are kind of contingent one on the other, you know, just because that this was in my head when I went through the first 32. Right. I'm like, all right, what do I got here? So, all right, the Cardinals move from 4 to 13. Then they pull the old full Monty. What's the full Monty? You trade back and then you trade up and you take a premium position. We saw them do it last year. Monty Austin Ford, they traded back. They come back up. Paris Johnson Jr., left tackle, almost the exact same thing this year. They trade back to 13. Then they come back up to number six and the Arizona Cardinals take Malik Nabers there and the Giants end up moving back to 13. So in this scenario, the Giants end up having the Raiders pick. Now, any report you read out of New York Giants reporters for the last 2 months, what has been the number one focus is that this team's doing a lot of work on the quarterbacks. They kind of like a JJ McCarthy. They kind of like a Drake May. They had dinner with Michael Penix Jr. after his pro day. They sent everyone out there. They watched it. Then they took the man to a nice dinner out there. They're doing a lot of work on these quarterbacks. And I think they should do a lot of work on these quarterbacks. Daniel Jones, one more year, you're tied to him. Deal was a mistake in the first place. You knew that if you listened to Extra Point Taken. You probably knew that even if you didn't listen.
I'm about to say, you taken. Knew Let's that if you got two eyes.
We don't want to give ourselves credit. Yeah. 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 We don't need to flex on that one. You knew that without listening to us. So they're tied to him for one more year after 2024. No guaranteed money for Daniel Jones Jr. They can move on. It's just Daniel Jones. Michael.
Yep.
Mike.
I mean, if you want to give him a pop, Jones. Name Danny, go for it. That's your prerogative.
There's too many names in my head. So like, I can't keep up with this. Like you can the 150 names that I'm supposed to know school and year and position and have a take on them. I'm not built for this draft life. This is a young man's game. I'm not built for it. Okay. Daniel Jones, not Daniel Jones Jr. They can move on from him. Brian Daboll, Joe Shane, what's their plan at quarterback? So when they're at 13, as I was going through this process, I thought, all right, they could take an offensive lineman. They could take a cornerback. At some point, though, if you like the upside of a quarterback, and it might be a little bit high for Michael Penix Jr., I don't know. I know I'll hear what you think about him here in a second. But if you like the upside, again, you're weighing two things, percentage that the pick hits and upside if the pick does hit. So even if the percentage is, I don't know that it's going to hit, if you get to a certain point, then you say, well, if it does hit and we think he can be like the 15th best quarterback in the NFL on a rookie contract, that is very, 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 very valuable. They should know that better than anyone after what they paid Daniel Jones after his only good year in the NFL. So I've got the Giants trading down, landing a quarterback. Some people, you know, there's a lot of rumors that, hey, maybe they could trade up. Maybe they could stay put and still end up with a JJ McCarthy or a Drake May. So I've got a little curveball here where they trade down and they take Michael Penix Jr. What do you think?
Have you watched Penix?
Not as closely as you have.
Yeah.
You don't like him.
Well, here's the thing. Like, Penix is a tricky prospect for me because charting-wise, I do not like him. History-wise, like medical, red flag-wise, I should say, like medical checks and his age and the fact that he played on a team with just three NFL receivers, three NFL offensive linemen, NFL tight end, NFL running back, like NFL offensive coordinator. Like there's a lot to be worried about in that regard, right? So like red flag-wise, I don't like him. Film-wise, I don't like him very much. With that said, when you go and you look at like some of the round three, round four, round five quarterbacks that hit, one of the shared characteristics is they're willing to just trigger. They're willing to just go. And the thing about Penix is like, if I were a team that had the Super Friends, right? That had like, if I were like the Dolphins and I just had like multiple elite wide receivers, right? And I'm trying to find a day two, day three quarterback to take to just pilot my offense. The guy I would take would be probably Bo Nix. But Penix is really far up there for me. And I can see a world where Penix is like good on a rookie deal because he just shoots. Like he throws a generally catchable ball. I don't find it very precise, but a generally catchable ball. And he gives his receiver shot after shot after shot after shot, right? He is not afraid of coverage. He is not afraid of pressure. Like he will just play the offense and he will throw the ball down the field. He will let his receivers make him right. And that makes like sound stupid. Like Ben, like that's not like, what are you talking about? There are a lot of quarterbacks who are afraid of doing that. They don't like to do that. They don't like the way it looks on their stat sheet. They try to solve problems. They think that they're better than they are. Penix knows where his bread is buttered. And so I can see worlds where Penix is good on a rookie deal. I really can. With that said, I'm not trying to take that at 27, you know, and that's the big thing for me. You say, oh, you know, the fifth year option. Sure. But like, meh. Not when I'm rolling the dice on this caliber of a player. Like, I'm a lot more interested in the fifth year option when it's like Derek Carr, Teddy Bridgewater. Hey, like, he's not like perfect. He's not like an elite mover. But man, like, he'd be from a pocket. He can kind of shred you up a little bit. Like, Penix doesn't hit that caliber for me. And so in round one, he gives me pause. For the Giants, he also gives me pause. The Giants aren't good enough, right? They're not going to pick a player like Penix work. Penix would just have to do too much for the team to elevate. I don't think he has that in him. That's the tricky thing about the Giants is that the Giants are looking for a Daniel Jones replacement, but they also need better personnel. Like they need better guys to bring a rookie quarterback along. And so they're not even ready for a Daniel Jones replacement. And that's why I would really prefer if they just go wide receiver, offensive tackle, wide receiver, just invest in the offense, invest in the offense. Maybe it makes Daniel Jones good for another year. Great. Even if not, like you're in a better spot to get a quarterback next year.
I think that's probably the right approach for them. You're right. You look at that roster and you go, Joe Shane's third year and this is the roster. Like you kind of look around there and go, oh God, they're like they have some young guys who maybe they'll come through here. Deontay Banks maybe comes through next year, but like Evan Neal has not been good. They got nothing at wide receiver. They let Saquon Barkley walk. The Daniel Jones contract wasn't good. So defensively, I like their defensive line, Brian Burns, Dexter Lawrence and Kayvon Thibodeau, at least from last year. So they've got some talent. I don't think there's another position group on that roster where you say like, are they above average? I mean, the answer is probably no. I generally agree with your Penix assessment. I think he's much more interesting to me in a spot where they've got some pieces in place and you're like, all right, they can, you know, he can kind of go in there and play and he doesn't have to carry the offense. That would be interesting to me. But, you know, you're right. He's not like sometimes you go to a training camp and there's a quarterback who every rep scrambles because they don't like, and you're like, all right, this person doesn't have it. They don't know what they're saying. They're not letting it rip. That is not Michael Penix Jr. He's not going to take sacks. He's going to let it rip. He's going to give guys chances from the pocket. It's tough to figure out exactly. Is there like a scheme? Is there like a team fit? I know you said the Dolphins. What like the Vikings? Does he fit with the Vikings?
Yes
or no? Is there another team? Yes. Okay, so you like him as a potential
him with
fit
the Vikings? I think is good. I think him with the Raiders is good enough, right? Jacoby and Devontae, I think it'd be nicer if they were better on whatever it's called, offensive line. But in general, like I think that one works. Broncos sounds awful. Gosh, it sounds terrible. It's just disgusting. Sure, go for it though if you want. Seahawks. The Seahawks to me are like, okay, like Ryan Grubb knows how to make Penix work. You have Metcalf in hand. You have JSN. Like that'd be the one that I would be going for.
All right. There you go. So where did you have Penix going in your mock? Did you have him going in the first round or no?
No, I do not. I am extremely suspicious of the idea that Penix will be a round one player and Bo Nix as well. I know right now Penix is favored more likely to go round one than he isn't. I don't buy that at all for a second, to be frank.
Okay. All right. What do you have? What is your second take? Bold prediction.
You might bully me, but I want to get this out into the world because I think it's going to happen. Or I think it's a good enough chance to happen. I don't think Joe Alt's the first offensive lineman off the board. In fact, given the conversations that I've had, oh, you're already smirking at me. Listen!
No, I love that you think, like, I'm not in your little circles. I'm not going to bully people for a take like that. I mean, that's crazy. I'm offended that you would even think that you think I care that much about Joe Alt not being there? Like, I'm going to make fun of you for that?
Offensive lineman. That's your... Oh,
no, it's good. I'm interested. Tell me, who is the first offensive lineman? Or just it's the field?
I think it's J.C. Latham, the tackle out of Alabama. Right now, Jason Latham is 14-1 to be the first tackle off the board at FanDuel Sportsbook. That's a bet at exactly that price that I have. I took it at 14 like last week, and it's still there. Latham, for those who don't know, he's one of the younger offensive linemen that we have in the class. He's coming out as a third-year junior. He's 21 years old. He's one of the better, one of the craziest size guys that we have in this just class. Like, obviously, you have a Marius Mims who's supersized, 87-inch wingspan. But Latham's there. He's got 84-inch wingspan, 35-inch arms. He's 342 pounds. He's enormous. Multiple-year starter at right tackle at Alabama. Like, this is the exact sort of profile. Like, when you have guys at Alabama who are built like this, move like this, and have this experience, those guys typically go, like, top 10, top 15, right? Like, this is just, like, a SEC offensive lineman through and through. He is dominant in the running game. Multiple years starting on the right side. Just road paver, road grader. Like, Talese Fuaga at Oregon State gets the, like, highlight clip reel stuff dropped on it. Snap to snap. I think Latham is better in the running game, and then Latham is remarkably better in the passing game. NFL teams have kind of been intimating this. I know that one of the NFC personnel guy gave the quote to Lance Zierlein where he said, Ault and Latham are the two best in this class. Latham will be better over the course of his career. And when we start figuring out, okay, who's going to go one overall, the thing with Latham is that Latham played exclusively on the right side, and that actually kind of helps him a little bit at the top of the draft. The first spot you're looking is 5 overall to Los Angeles Chargers. They got Rashawn Slater on the left, right? And we know that Harbaugh wants to be a run the football downhill, physically dominant team. And so if you tell me the Chargers take a tackle at 5, J.C. Latham just makes way more sense for them than Joe Ault does. Ault would have to move from the left to the right. And Ault, who played in Notre Dame and is a great run blocker, don't get me wrong, is just better in terms of pass protection. That's what his body is built for. That's what his profile is built for. You go to the Tennessee Titans at 7. Now this is, okay, like they'd certainly have room for a Joe Ault on the left side, right? They got room at both tackle spots, if we're being honest. But if we talk about a Bill Callahan team and the development of traits and bringing all like offensive linemen and growth and whatever, J.C. Latham has some of the stuff that you can't teach. Again, so does Joe Ault. But like J.C. Latham is right up there in terms of developmental traits and the size. He's a little bit more heavy-footed. He's not that much of a plotter. Like certainly he's not like, you know, Olufoshano sprinting out there, Troy Fauten, who looks like he's like 280 pounds on the hoof, but he can still move. It's like, I think that there's a reasonable expectation for him to have that spot. You go to the Jets at 10. The Jets are taking a tackle, man. Between Tyron Smith and Morgan Moses, left side and right side, I think you feel a lot better about Tyron Smith staying and playing on the left side than you do Morgan Moses staying and playing on the right side. So, okay, I think they're more likely to go right-handed. I think that, again, J.C. Latham is your best right tackle off the board. And so some of the teams that need tackles up front in the top 10, I think are at a higher likelihood to address the right side than the left side than people realize. And while Joe Ault certainly can switch, and like you can talk about that, there is an elite right tackle prospect in this class. His name is J.C. Latham. And that's how the league views him. The league views him as the second tackle in the class, if not the first tackle in the class. And so to me, I think that J.C. Latham has a shot to be the first tackle off the board. Joe Ault, a little bit of a draft day fall, would not surprise me.
Where do you have J.C.? And you know J.C. Latham's nickname, right? I think I told you on another pod.
It's like Cheeks or Juice or something cool.
No, it is not.
What is it?
Although it could be now. Cheeks or Juice.
Something
TK.
Like that.
He nicknamed himself Trench King. He's Trench King. King. He nicknamed himself TK. Cheeks or Juice, though.
Those are two cool nicknames.
Yeah. All right. So where do you have J.C. Latham going here?
In my draft, I have J.C. Latham going to the Chargers, but I have the Chargers trading back to 11. And so I have the Joe Ault taking the Titans, going to the Titans at 7, and then I have J.C. Latham at 11. Now, Chargers stay at 5, can't find a trade partner, don't need to find a trade partner. Again, you tell me the Chargers take a tackle at 5. I would bet just as much money with J.C. Latham as I would Joe Ault. I think that, and I think Jim Harbaugh would think he would have no qualms about it whatsoever. Remember also, like, Harbaugh was just in college, all right? He, preparing for the college football playoff, he scouted and watched J.C. Latham, that Alabama offensive line. Latham was lights out in that game. Would not be surprised if he is a huge J.C. Latham fan.
So would you take, now we'll get back to this very consistent discussion in the top 10, tackle or wide receiver. I mean, the Chargers at 5, if they stay, if they don't move back, how would you feel about them taking a J.C. Latham over, say, a Malik Nabers? I'll start. I would not like that. I would say
I think you have to take Nabers. I think you do because you can get better tackles in round 2 than you can get wide receivers in round 2. Even with, and you can get good receivers in round 2. So I would not hate it. I would not fault them too much. I'd be very interested what the plan is at wide receiver round two, round three. You kind of got to throw a lot of darts at it there. The other thing is that you say the name explicitly, Malik Nabers. Nabers is exactly what they've been missing, right? Let's get some speed on the field. Let's go downfield. And so that particular fit is very, very attractive. With that said, I have been, since day one, since the first mock came out, I gave the Chargers a tackle at 5, and people were furious with me. And I was like, guys, like, Herbert is getting hurt, dude. Herbert is taking too many hits, and he's getting hurt. Like, tackle is a very serious, and guard, too. And the thing about Latham is Latham can potentially play guard as well. They need offensive line help desperately. And so I won't fault them too much if they go Latham over Nabers. I won't like it, but I wouldn't hate it.
I would like him to have someone to throw the football to when I look at that depth chart with the Chargers. They've invested a lot in that offensive line. I know it is some sunk cost and all that. Like, they still need to. I understand. But, man, I would love for them to just either stay there, get a wide receiver, or if you're going to do... I mean, one interesting question with a lot of these teams in the top 10 that are looking tackle is, like, how bunched do they have these guys together? You know, like, is it like, well, they're all in the same tier and we're throwing a dart, or is it like, no, like you're saying, are they like, no, Latham is a tier above these other guys and let's not mess around and take him. And then for teams trading up, it's like, do you want to trade up for a tackle if it's this deep and there are going to be guys available? Again, it depends. Do you have a guy who's separate with all your scouting and analytics and coaching and whatever else you put into your formula and it puts out, all right, what kind of grade do we have on this guy? You know, is it worth it to give up extra draft capital to go get that guy? Or do you just say, all right, you know what? If they're bunched together, let's just chill here and wait. Those are some of the big questions.
You're saying all this good process stuff. I'm promising you, Harbaugh's taking Latham. He's getting on the mic and he's saying, when we played Latham, he beat us. He beat our butts for 4 quarters in the trenches. That is it. And I like him, and he's big and he's scary. Like, I promise you that's the logic.
Yes, that is true. Even as I was saying it, I'm like, I don't know how many teams are actually going to be thinking like this. So we shall see. All right, take one more break. We'll come back with our final bold predictions and the extra point taken.
This episode is brought to you by Modelo. What does a true fan look like? It's cheering the loudest. It's never missing a game, no matter what. And for that, you deserve an ice cold reward, because you are a fighter and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Shop delivery or pickup options near you at ordermodelo.com. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
This episode is brought to you by Hotels.com. I was traveling internationally last year. I was in Mallorca. I didn't know the island well. I said, let me head to the north, head towards the water. Let me go on Hotels.com and see what they have available. Something preferably on the beach, maybe even a gym. Not only did I get those things, there was a kids session with exercise, gymnastics in the water, pony rides, a train. It had everything, and I didn't even want any of those things. But at least I knew they were there, just in case I changed my mind. And now finding the perfect hotel has never been easier, thanks to the Hotels.com app. Whether you're looking for a family-friendly, right, all-inclusive, or a relaxing spa weekend, you can find exactly what you need and compare hotel prices, ratings, and amenities side by side. So start planning your next getaway and find your perfect somewhere in the Hotels.com app.
All right, we are back on Extra Point Taken. My third one. I'm just going to start there. Oh, you're going to make fun of me for this. Offended. You know, classy guy. I like offensive. When do I not like offensive linemen? Like, I'm interviewing Jason Kelce while you're in diapers. Come on.
Yeah, the offensive lineman always liked me. You moved on from your offensive line era, all right? Listen, every time
I am the hipster. I was interviewing offensive linemen before it was cool. Now that it's cool, I'm out.
Exactly. You and that you always present yourself as the foil to the hipsters when you have many hipster proclivities.
I did. Someone actually called me out. I think it was last week where I said, all right, I hear more people using the term football hipsters. We started football hipsters and people were like, that's a very hipster thing to say, that like you started it and you were on it. I'm like, all right, yeah,
that's a good point.
That's probably true. So nice job by the expats on that one. All right, my third one. The Jacksonville Jaguars trade up.
Yes.
For one of my favorite prospects in the first round.
Malik Nabers.
Brian Thomas Jr. Not Can they get up to get Malik there? I guess they could.
I've got him taking the other 17 to 8 and with the Falcons.
Oh, you do? Okay.
Yes. The Falcons are going to trade. Listen to this. The Falcons are going to trade the Jaguars Calvin Ridley for a season. And then Calvin Ridley's going to leave. And then the Falcons are going to trade the Jaguars again. The Jaguars can go get Malik Nabers to replace Calvin Ridley. That's what's going to happen. And I'm going to die laughing.
That would be pretty exciting. Malik Nabers. But Brian Thomas Jr. too. I mean, Brian Thomas, I love this guy. Again, one of my favorite prospects in the first round. LSU wide receiver. Big, fast, productive. And Trent Baalke, what does he like? He likes those athletes. He likes those measurables. You know, we did our GMs with the most at stake, Solak. Was it last week? Week before? Whenever we did that. I think it was 2 weeks ago. And one of the guys I thought about was Trent Baalke. And I'm looking at that Jaguars team, and I don't like, it's probably not just Baalke. If they don't have a good season here with Baalke and Doug Peterson, like if they don't make the playoffs, and it's 2 years in a row where they don't make the playoffs, and kind of the first year they made it, but they snuck in, and then they have the comeback win against the Chargers. I don't know what happens with that regime if they don't have a nice season here. And so I always like to identify the GMs who might be feeling that heat, thinking, I got to kind of say my, make sure I got some job security here. And Baalke might be one of those guys. At the same time, they lose Calvin Ridley, like you mentioned, in free agency. They need a wide receiver. If it's Brian Thomas, Christian Kirk, and Gabe Davis and Evan Ingram, I feel like a lot better about that, even having said what I've said before, which is that rookie wide receivers are hit or miss, even though there are some great ones, I would still feel a lot better about that. So Jaguars are slated to pick at 17. I have them in my mock trading up to 12 with the Denver Broncos and taking Brian Thomas Jr. What do you think about Brian Thomas Jr., where he goes, and that potential move for Jacksonville?
I like the Jags to take a receiver. They've done their work on their top receivers. I think that they very clearly plan to be in a Calvin Ridley, Gabriel Davis, Christian Kirk world, and like Zay Jones kind of be the odd man out of that trio. And then Calvin surprised them and left for Tennessee, and now they're scrambling a little bit. I'd like them to take a receiver in round one. I like them to be aggressive to go do it. I think they're a little bit on tilt. I don't love up five spots for the fourth best receiver at 12 overall. That feels rich for my blood, right? Especially like this is not like the Drake London, Chris Olave, Garrett Wilson, Jameson Williams year where it's like, dude, all these guys are like, these cats are unbelievable. Like to me, like it's a clear top three and then Brian Thomas. And I do think that if you want Brian Thomas at 17, you ain't going to get him. I think that I think the Colts at 15 are kind of going to be your issue there. But I will say that, like, I don't know, like I'm happy to let the Colts take Brian Thomas at 15 and then I'll solve the problem later. Like I as a guy who likes Brian Thomas, that it's rich for my blood. And again, like trading up five picks, I think is healthy. I obviously have them executing an even bigger trade up for Malik Nabers, but I think there's a delta between those two players and it's worth it. Brian Thomas, like, what's Brian Thomas doing in year one for the Jaguars with Christian Kirk and Gabriel Davis and Evan Ingram on the roster? How many targets is he garnering, right? That you're paying the Lions tax to go get Jameson to go get like a field stretcher, which did not work for the Lions, lest we forget.
I think he could be just fine in year one. I love this guy. 17.3 yards per reception last season or throughout the course of his career. Ran a 4.33, crazy athleticism, most touchdowns by a Power 5 receiver since Devontae Smith. Can catch the ball downfield, can make contested catches. All right, don't give me your diverse route tree stuff, okay? You can teach Brian Thomas a little bit more. He can break tackles, he can run away from guys. I would be very excited to see him playing with Trevor Lawrence and Doug Peterson. I think Brian Thomas Jr. is going to go higher than maybe some people expect. I don't know what his over-under is by these sports books, but he's someone who I think teams are going to really, really like. And I think the Jaguars could be a team to watch trading up for him. All right. Solak, what do you got? What's bold prediction number three?
By pick 15, 16, let's say, first half of the first round, one of the three following players will be traded. One.
Ooh.
Brandon Ayuk.
This will be a good lead in to my extra point taken. All right, Brandon Ayuk. Okay,
Brandon Ayuk, which one. I feel like everybody already, like, you know, maybe this will happen, maybe this won't. Brandon Ayuk's out here like on Twitter and on social being like, it goes down in 4 days. Like, I don't know, whatever. Something's afoot. Ayuk's up there. Number two.
Did he tweet that actually?
He I think it was on Snapchat or it was on Instagram where he posted something where he was like, you know, fireworks in 5 days or whatever. Like he's just been, a lot's going on with Brandon Ayuk's socials right now. I don't pretend to know what's going on. That's number one. Okay. Number two, DK Metcalf.
Ooh, that's an interesting one. I haven't heard that name brought up.
That has been, it's been rumor mill stuff. I've heard it mentioned by people. Be going to look at Metcalf's, which I literally can't tell you who these people are, so don't ask me.
But I've heard it mentioned by people. That's great attribution. Yes, all right, wonderful.
Well,
all
no, because right. It's not public, but per sources, Sheil.
Okay.
There's been discussion about DK Metcalf potentially moving out of Seattle. Right now, Metcalf is a $24.5 million cap hit. He would be a $36 million dead cap hit, right? And so as of right now, like structurally, they'd have to mess around with the trade. They'd have to post June 1 it to try to to make it a better for the team this year. But they can get off of his deal this season or at the end of this upcoming season if they want to. There's been reports and rumors of frustration between him and Geno Smith. They drafted Jacksmith the Jigba in the first round last year. There is not a ton of smoke, but there is enough smoke on Metcalf potentially getting moved that I want to mention it here. The third and final player that will potentially get traded, which goes back to one of your points, Sheil, one of your predictions that you made, is Giants quarterback Daniel Jones. Listen, if you're the Broncos and you're there at 12 and the Giants take a quarterback at 6, you're not calling about Daniel Jones? You're not calling and saying, listen, I'll get him out the building for you right now, right? Now again, Daniel Jones, once again, is a $47.8 million cap hit right now. He is $69.3 in dead cap if you're outright cut. So once again, if you're going to trade him, you're going to have to mess around with the contract structure. You're going to have to post June 1 it. There's ways to get around it, though, because we're after the league year. And so you can change some money and you can move whatever you want to. He had salary guarantees kick in earlier this year, right? They kicked in, I think, like the fifth year of the league year or something. So he does have some guaranteed money in 2025. They weren't able to get that done beforehand, but you didn't know if you were going to get a quarterback. So let's say the Giants get to stay at 6 and they take J.J. McCarthy. If I am Sean Payton, I am absolutely 100% unequivocally calling for Daniel Jones. Daniel Jones is for as much as we like to take the mickey out of Daniel Jones, Daniel Jones is remarkably more functional than like Jared Stidham and blank. I think honestly the Raiders would probably call about Daniel Jones, right? Like Gardner Minshew, maybe not. Take the tires and see. I don't think it's going to cost too much. You know that you want to move on from him. You know, give it a call. Give it a see. Give it a shot. And I don't know if this will actually happen before pick 16. It probably, that'd be a little bit too fast for it to happen. But if I want to send like, you know, this year's second, next year's second, Daniel Jones,
what?
No. I'm not.
This year's second and next
Not both of them. Not both of them. If I'm doing the negotiation, right? And I'm talking about, I'll send this year's two. Potentially they're coming back. Like I didn't mean both of those picks. I'm saying when you are brainstorming the deal, you want to have picks this year that you can potentially send. And so I'm just saying that if and when the Giants take a quarterback, if I were the head coach of the general manager of one of these teams that doesn't have a QB, say the Patriots don't get their guy, I would call about Daniel Jones. I don't love Daniel Jones. I don't think $40 million for Daniel Jones was a good idea. I do think that Daniel Jones is like the 20th best quarterback in the league. And that can be a helpful thing to have in the building. So I do think that you're going to see a
20th best.
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay. You want to name quarterbacks back and forth? Get the Daniel Jones?
Not really. I mean, we can I guess we might as well. All right. Let me bring up the
I'm pulling up Steve's quarterback rankings right now. I don't know if he had
I got the ESPN standings in front of me. All right.
I don't know if he had Daniel Josh. Jones still up. He has Daniel Jones at 21 below Caleb Williams.
Okay. All right. Listen, I think Daniel Jones in the right situation is somewhat interesting to me. I think I think the idea that a team would give up anything of value for a guy who he's guaranteed a salary of $35.5 million
for 1 year.
You're giving up something and you're paying Daniel Jones $36 million next year when he's coming off a season ending injury and has missed 18 games in the past three seasons and has been good for one season. Like, that is very, I don't think that that's going to, and the other thing is you have a feel like he could be available after the season. I don't even know if he's tradable. Like it might be like a pick swap or a conditional day three thing or something for the Giants to save that money that they guaranteed him. I mean, please, you call him right now. They don't have to take JJ McCarthy. I think if you call him right now and give up and say, we'll give you a second. Yes. All right, here, we'll help him pack. Don't worry about the jet. We'll send him over. We'll find him a place to live. Don't worry about anything else.
I think we're conflating the badness of the Jones contract with the badness of Jones. Because
no, but you're still trading for a 1 year, $36 million contract, guaranteed.
Right, but like, I'm Daniel Jones on 1 year, $36 million is not the word. We were all fine with the franchise tag for Jones after his one good season.
That was after his good year. Now it's another year where he couldn't stay healthy and didn't play well.
Sure,
now
but
we
I'm
have
saying
more evidence.
We were fine with the franchise tag. That was functionally 1 year and how many million? What would it have been? It would have been around that number.
Yeah, but that was, like Jacoby Brissett went for what, 1 year, $8 million? Like to the Patriots, and now you're going to give up draft capital and pay Daniel Jones 1 year, 36? Like, that's crazy.
Okay, I don't like that I've become this person, but Daniel Jones is measurably better than Jacoby Brissett, Shiel.
Measurably? No, he's not. He's a little bit better. He is not measurably better than Jacoby Brissett. You put them both in the same situation, your offense will probably be a little bit better with Daniel. I'm not even sure how much better it's going to be, quite honestly. They're absolutely in the same tier of starting quarterback.
I like a Jacoby, but Jacoby has been a bounce around QB2 backup for a long time in the league. And that's not to say, Daniel Jones has been a starter, so he's better. But the league has told you where they're at on Jacoby. He's fringe QB1, high-end QB2. I think Daniel
Yeah,
Jones,
but you're the one who may always makes the point about Geno. The league told us what they thought about Geno for a while, and then a team gave him a shot, and he was a competent quarterback.
Okay. Yes. Jacoby's been given more shots than Geno was given, number one. He's had his chances to earn that. Number two, when Geno got the Seahawks job, I was not of the opinion. I was like, yeah, he's a Jacoby per se. He's a low-end QB1, high-end QB2. Then Geno was good. And I was like, holy smokes, I got to lock it in with these guys. So I paid some more attention to Jacoby Brissett. I still feel pretty fine about where my opinion is on him. Daniel Jones is a low-end QB1. He is a starter, right? And like, oh, he had that one good season. Yeah, we're forgetting that like he had that one good season. And Brian Daboll they had this environment and this, that, whatever. But it's not like he was like throwing to six elite receivers. It's not like he was playing behind a dominant offensive line. Like, it was, oh, we're going to use this guy as a runner a little bit more, right? We're going to use this guy as like a short game RPO trigger man a little bit more, and this can work for him. If the top four quarterbacks go 1, 2, 5, 6, okay? The best quarterback on the market for the Denver Broncos, without question, will be Daniel Jones. In terms of talent alone. Now, we can debate the cost of the trade. We can debate the value of taking the contract, whatever. Jones is the best talent that's left. Like the Ryan Tannehill deal, right? Tannehill was coming off of major injuries. He was a first-round pick that didn't work out. The Dolphins traded him and a sixth to get a fourth, right? So, okay, that's like day three pick swap like you were talking about. I would do that for Daniel Jones. I would absolutely do that for Daniel Jones.
Well, yeah, that's different. Yeah, that, yeah. Okay, that is different to me.
Right.
Now, so, again, I still, like one of the weird things this offseason has been teams, like the contract stuff has really factored in, you know, when teams have had to take on money or pay a guy new money. Now, maybe you're right. Maybe they'll look at it and say, hey, it's the quarterback. We want to take a flyer and no big deal. But yeah, so if we're getting into a day three pick swap, then I can probably get there with you. If we go higher than that, then I mean, think about if you're a Broncos fan and your team traded it, like how would you feel? A second round pick for Daniel Jones. You would probably be like,
yeah, so,
oh,
okay.
What is this?
If we're saying second rounder is too high, which I'm fine with, right? Josh Rosen was like a second round pick, I want to say, or whatever, but still. Then maybe it's not happening within the first 16 picks. Like I said, Ayuk, DK Metcalf. I think those guys might go for like first round selections. You want to kind of get that done early, whatever. Jones, maybe, okay, he doesn't get done until the end of round one. I'll give that one to you. I strongly, like if I were in my room, GMing, preparing for the draft, one of the absolute like top things I would have on my board is if and when the Giants take a quarterback, I want to go find out the Daniel Jones price. Because that to me is like a, if Tua can have the offense that he's had in Miami and if Purdy can have the offense that he's had in San Francisco, like I have a player with enough talent in Daniel Jones that I could build a good offense around him. I saw Dable do that two seasons ago, right? So to me, I would absolutely be kicking those tires. And then if it's not good, it's not good. Maybe they want a bridge thing. Maybe they take McCarthy, like we know he needs a year, so we're going to keep Daniel Jones. And then it doesn't happen. But I think if we are saying the percent chance the Giants take a quarterback is like 20%, then I'm telling you the chance that teams call about Daniel Jones trade is 19%, right? I think that's going to happen.
Actually, I do find Jones as an interesting flyer for a team with a better infrastructure. Like I'm not telling you, I think he like completely, he has been in a bad situation and he has not played well consistently over a long period of time. However, you absolutely have seen the flashes with him and the physical tools where you could talk yourself, even if he was just in a situation where you're like, the offensive line is good, you know, and the supporting cast is average and the coach is good. I would be interested to see him in that situation. The way teams operate, now maybe if the Giants say, hey, we will pick up X amount of his contract, if you give us some compensation, something like that, maybe it could work. It's a great take by you. It's hard on the Monday before the draft to come up with new angles for what could potentially happen during the draft. You caught me off guard. You caught me by surprise. I didn't think I was going to get into a Daniel Jones trade discussion, and now it's fun. Now maybe they'll trade Daniel Jones.
How it would go in the room. I come in, assistant GM, we should be trading for Daniel Jones. You're the GM, like, that's ridiculous. I convince you. They do a cool little video montage of it in 2 years when Daniel Jones is playing in the divisional round for us. It'd be nice.
Then if it doesn't work out, I whisper to the owner. It was all Solak's idea, you know. Yeah. And then if he plays well, I remind the owner, hey, I'm the one calling the shots here, and I had the final say.
Number one part of the job, Shield. Number one job?
Yeah.
Keeping the job.
Keep the job. There you go. All right. Good stuff. I like it. All right. So Ayuk, Daniel Jones. Sorry, who was the second guy? I got
Ayuk,
all Daniel
DK
Jones
Metcalf,
down.
Which DK Metcalf. There's another been good rumblings one. On That's the horizon. A good one. And right. Daniel Jones as your big wild card there.
This is the thing, like, you know, sometimes the day before the draft, you're like, all right, I can chill a little bit. The draft is tomorrow. And then you get, bam, the blockbuster trade happens 24 hours before or even the morning of the draft, where you're like, all right,
just,
you know,
just,
I'll go,
just
go get a workout in, take a walk or something.
Yeah. 45 minutes before day two starts. But reporting that team sets the JJ McCarthy pick for the Giants start calling about Daniel Jones, I will count that as a win. I would be like, this is basically what I said, even though it's not. Absolutely.
100%. If Daniel Jones gets traded, I will give you credit. That's a nice little curveball to throw in to the draft. I like it. All right. I'm stealing your bit, Solak, for the extra point taken. I'm giving you three things.
Bit infringement. Bit infringement.
From most like, listen, I view us as a team. You might not. And so I feel like I'm allowed to steal the bit.
I view us as a team.
If I give you attribution, you know, if I were stealing it and saying it was my idea, that's uncalled for, but I'm stealing. Sometimes I'm out of ideas. I'll be honest. Sometimes I'm just out of ideas and I got to steal an idea and credit it. And that's what's happening here. Okay. Three things. Number one, this goes off of one of the ones you said. Brandon Ayuk gets traded for a first round pick. Maybe it's the Pittsburgh Steelers at 20. Maybe it's the Buffalo Bills at 28. Now, the reporting out of San Francisco for the most part has been, this is not happening. It's more likely that a contract gets done, and I still think I lean that way, but until a contract gets done, we can at least mention it. Yeah. We can at least speculate recklessly about him potentially getting traded. So there you go. Brandon Ayuk gets traded for a first round pick. That's number one. Number two, the New York Jets trade up to 5 for Marvin Harrison Jr. They say, we're all in. We know we should probably take a tackle, but sometimes in this life, you gotta be a little irresponsible just to feel alive. And that's what we're doing
dang,
here.
Wow.
We're surrounding Aaron Rodgers with Garrett Wilson, Mike Williams, Breece Hall, and Marvin Harrison Jr. That's going to be real interesting around Aaron Rodgers. You have Joe Douglas. You have Joe Ortiz. They work together. The Chargers GM. They work together in Baltimore. They make a little deal. Chargers move back. Jets move up. Marvin Harrison Jr. And then three, which I now know that you're going to have as the least likely, is that six, I think, although the other ones aren't likely either. So maybe you want 6 quarterbacks go in the first round. You've been saying 6 quarterbacks are not going in the first round. 5 quarterbacks are not going in the first round. It's going to be 4. All of you people with your Michael Penix, Bo Nix jumping in there, get out of my face. They're not going until Friday. Stop with this nonsense. But maybe teams fall in love and 6 of them go. So there you go. Those three things. Ayuk trade, Marvin Harrison Jr. to the Jets at 5. And 6 quarterbacks go in the first round, rank up most likely to least likely for the draft. What do you got?
Most likely is Marvin Harrison to the Jets at 5. The Broncos are in, I think, the strongest position of aggression, where I could just see them going mad, right? Just use all the resources now. We got to get good quick. Sean Payton, here we go. The Jets are second, right? Joe Douglas and Robert Saleh, they've been there for a long time. No divisional titles to show for it. No playoffs to show for it. You got to win some ball games. If you sniff anybody falling a little bit of these top 3 receivers, absolutely go up and grab a guy. Oh, they don't need it. They have Garrett Wilson. They have Mike Williams. Nope, they do. And even if they didn't, you do it to make the point. You do it to be like, we are all in for this season. We are investing right now. If you're Jared Douglas, you don't expect to be around to spend 2026 picks, right? And if you are, that's 2026's problem. Right now, use 2026's pick to solve 2024's problem. I think that they are a good candidate to aggressively trade up for a round one receiver. That's the most likely. Brandon Ayuk trade, I would say, is the second most likely. I put a Brandon Ayuk trade at like less than 10%. I don't think that it happens. I think it'd be silly for the 49ers if they do it. I think the only world in which they do it is if they feel like they can immediately turn around and add a receiver that they really like as part of the deal, right? Like, I think the only way an Ayuk trade happens is if they are 100% certain the end result of that trade is like, oh, we have the 15th overall pick, the Colts sent it to us, and Brian Thomas is on the board and we want him. Like, that's the only worlds in which that deal, I think, gets done. So I think it's unlikely. I think it's less than 10%, but I will say it's second. Six quarterbacks are not going in the first round. It's not happening. 1% chance. We do this every year. We do this every year. Every year. Oh, my gosh. It's crazy. Everybody actually really likes this guy who's been quarterback 5 the whole time. Yeah, no. He'd be higher if he wasn't. If he were good, we would. Like, that's always the fundamental truth of it. All teams want is a good quarterback. That's the only thing in the entire world that matters is drafting a good quarterback early. If a quarterback were good enough to go round one, we would start hearing about it in February. If it starts happening in April, it's not real. Because, teams just figured out Michael Penix is in this draft? Penix was playing in a college football playoff. He's in the national championship. Like, oh, and after 4 months of film review and interviews, now we think the guy's a round one player? Hogwash. Absolutely not. It's horse feathers. He's not going round one.
I love how worked up you get about that. I'm just telling you, for the remainder of our lives, whenever we podcast together, I'm going to be bringing up how many quarterbacks are going to go in the first round just to get that reaction from you. So I'm preparing you for it now. You won't be able to help yourself. I'm not just going to do it this year. I'm going to do it next year. I'm going to do it the year after that. If there's at some point where we're not even, I'm just going to call you or text you and tell you it, even if it's not for public consumption.
The problem because is, I like your reaction. Is that I am going to be wrong. Because as
what?
Well, no, like maybe not.
Just so passionate about it.
No, because maybe not this year, but as the years go on, and like quarterback just desperation becomes higher and higher and higher and higher, teams are going to start doing more and more ridiculous things. It's power creep, right? I mean, it's just like the constant, just like, and this contract is bigger and this contract is bigger. Like if the Raiders taking a player like Penix at 13 overall flat 5 years ago was like an astonishing idea. Like that, like flabbergasting idea. Now it's something you can just bandy around for free. Like, say, oh, all quarterbacks are good. Every quarterback can work. Like, oh, we have all these systems to make these quarterbacks good now. And like, oh, you need the fifth year option no matter what. So just like, you know, doesn't matter. Just as long as you have the fifth year option, it was a good move. This is why the nerds are ruining the draft. Call back to a Ben take from a couple years ago. Nerds are ruining the draft because like, oh, like this is a plus EV decision. Like if the Raiders take Penix at 13, it will be a pick that is defended by people. Because you have to get quarterback right and you need to get them on a cheap contract. Despite the fact that there's just so much evidence that this is not the sort of player that you want to be your quarterback for the next 10 years. It just isn't. It's going to happen at some point. Whether it's this year, next year, or following year, where I'll be like, no, there's no chance this guy goes round one and then he does. Because the league is going bananas. But for right now, no.
Well, just to defend the nerds for a second, it did change quite a bit with the new CBA. And now we're getting real nerdy. In 2011, where the quarterback contracts became totally different than they were previously. And so now, again, it's the percentage chance and the upside. Even if the percentage chance is low, I'm of the mind. You can, you know, if you can, now you might be right about Penix as a prospect, but if you get to a point where a guy hits a certain percentage where you think, hey, he has this percent chance to be a competent quarterback, you can almost always justify that. So don't worry, nerds. I got your back. All right. Thank you to Benjamin Solak. Thank you to Cliff Augustine for producing. Ronick Nair on video, Eduardo Ocampo on social. Additional production supervision by Connor Nevins and Arjuna Ramgopal. Next up, I will be here Thursday night with the other Ringer NFL crew members doing a little first round recap. So like you'll be doing Ringer draft show Thursday yep. night, yes?
Yeah, so we will shows coming out pretty much all week. We'll have a live show in Detroit that we record on Wednesday, and then Thursday night we'll have a round one recap. I'll have recaps up written on the site. Everybody should come and hang out. It's going to be the best time in the world.
There you go. So check out all that. The Ringer has your draft needs covered. If there's breaking news between now and Thursday night, we'll be back. Otherwise, we'll be back Thursday night recapping round one. Thanks for listening. Talk to you soon on Extra Point Taken. Must be 21 plus, 18 plus in D.C., and present in select states. FanDuel is offering online sports wagering in Kansas under an agreement with Kansas Star Casino, LLC. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit FanDuel.com/RG in Colorado, D.C., Iowa, Michigan, New Jersey, North Carolina, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Illinois, Kentucky, Tennessee, Virginia, and Vermont. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXTSTEP to 53342 in Arizona, 1-888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org/chat in Connecticut, 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana, 1-800-522-4700 or visit ksgamblinghelp.com in Kansas, 1-877-770-STOP in Louisiana, visit mdgamblinghelp.org in Maryland, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net in West Virginia, or call 1-800-522-4700 in Wyoming. Hope is here. Visit gamblinghelplinema.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support in Massachusetts, or call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY in New York.
This episode is brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. As a ruthless king builds his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
This episode is brought to you by Hotels.com. When I went on my last holiday to Cape Town, it was amazing. My friends were there, the weather was phenomenal, and most importantly, the food was fantastic. But one thing I struggled with was finding the right places to stay. You know, all I want is a great bed, a fantastic shower, and breakfast that doesn't end at 8 a.m. I'm on holiday, I'm still sleeping. I also like ease, and the Hotels.com app easily helps me to find a perfect hotel for every trip. Whether you're looking for a family-friendly getaway or a relaxing spa weekend, on the Hotels.com app, you can compare up to 5 hotels side by side. Now, why would you want to do that? So you can see prices, amenities, and star ratings. And best of all, you don't have to switch back and forth between options. See? Ease. So, start planning your next getaway and find your perfect somewhere in the Hotels.com app today.